Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but it could only be a debate if you joined in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 442086014555. You call us, we'll call you back. Establish a clear line, and if you get on the television with me, make sure the volume on your television is down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, or you could email me on comment@presstv.co.uk. The indignity of it all. David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Britain, was grilled for an entire day, this very day, at the Leveson inquiry set up into the ethics of the British media, which is something of a contradiction in terms, because ethics and the British media are not words that should be spoken in the same sentence. Ironically, on the very day that David Cameron was giving evidence in an inquiry provoked by the snooping and phone hacking and tapping of emails and so on by elements of the British media, his own government was unveiling plans to make the British state the number one hacker of them all. New plans David Cameron's government has are now on the legislative table to allow the police, using the phone companies and the internet companies, to, well, basically hack anybody's phone, Facebook, email, messages, anything on the internet at all. We're also talking this evening about Saudi Arabia, and in particular its role in spreading sectarianism throughout not just the Arab world but the Muslim world and beyond. Saudi Arabia, as they call it, has been long fingered as the source of a certain type of fanaticism. But now it's really getting into its stride, buying up media, subverting the media and political processes in many countries in an attempt to keep control for its patron, its puppet master, the United States of America, of a very volatile situation. And the method of choice, the tool of choice, is sectarianism, turning the Muslims against each other, having the Arabs fight each other for the entertainment of the others. And in Egypt, there has been something of a military coup. In the last few hours, the Egyptian parliament has been dissolved, and the Fulul, the remnant, Shafiq, the last prime minister of the dictator Hosni Mubarak, has been confirmed as a candidate in the elections this weekend. Elections to appoint a president who doesn't have any powers, because there are no powers yet designed by the constitutional panel, and a president who now has no parliament to support him. So what are they up to? Is Shafiq going to be shoehorned into this job, and with a parliament dissolved, effectively the revolution never happened? Or is the Muslim Brotherhood candidate Dr. Morsi going to win the election but have no parliament to depend on and become little more than a decoration of the continuation of military rule? Well, I'm only asking. All of these are, of course, my views. They're not the views of Press TV, and they're certainly not the views of any government. Let's go all the way to sunny Florida for the very first call of the evening to Sadiq about what they call Saudi Arabia. Sadiq, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yes, thank you, George. How are you? It's nice to hear from you.
By the grace of God, I'm in fine fettle. Thank you. Go ahead.
George, always you're telling the truth, and I like you all the time. And
Thank
your
you.
Show is my favorite show.
Thank you, sir.
Because you are telling always the truth. The important thing is about Saudi Arabia. So the Arabia, they should feel responsible toward the Muslim all over the world, especially the situation in Bahrain, as couple people or a family control the whole Bahrain, killing innocent young women, young girls, young men, because...
Even old men and old ladies have been killed by the Bahraini dictatorship in the last few weeks.
Right, exactly. So if Saudi Arabia...
They'll kill anybody. They're killers. They're killers and thieves and usurpers. And they have no right to be there. And they're only there because Britain and America are giving them the guns and the money and the diplomatic and political support to be there. And the British and American puppet state of so-called Saudi Arabia has invaded Bahrain and is now swallowing Bahrain in order to perpetuate one family rule in that area, don't you think?
Well, another crime that Saudi Arabia is doing by providing a lot of financial help to people, Pakistanian, the Pakistani, they have the financial support of the Saudi Arabia, and they are supporting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. They are sending terrorism inside Afghanistan, and also...
Well, they certainly did. I don't know if they still... I don't know, Sadiq, if they still are.
The dual line to split the Afghan people and the killing... Today's killing in Afghanistan is because the dual line which British put the foundation between Afghanistan and created a phony government like Pakistan, and now all the innocent people are getting killed over the dual line.
Well, look, Sadiq, I can't go with you on all of that, but much of that I agree with. But it is vital for people to know two things. First of all, the plutocratic dictatorship in Saudi Arabia does not speak for the ordinary man and woman in the street in Arabia. Not at all. You know, I have thousands of followers in what they call Saudi Arabia on my Facebook page. You can go and see. It's, I think, the third biggest section of my supporters from all the world on Facebook. There are millions of sincere Sunni Muslims in Arabia. So first of all, we mustn't ever confuse the people of the country with their dictatorship. And secondly, the dictatorship does what it does, not for religious reasons, not at all for religious reasons. They're doing it as a deliberate device to divide the Muslims one from the other, the better for the Muslims to be ruled by the people who hate them, the people who want to rule them in order to steal their things, namely the people who created the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia in the first place. Sadiq, thanks for the call out there in sunny Florida. Let's get back to foggy London town, talk to Adnan about Egypt. Adnan, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George. Yeah, nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
Actually, what's happening in Egypt? Egypt is one of the important countries in the Arab world.
Indeed.
And we expect, really, from the day number one of the revolution, there are attempts to hijack this revolution. Ahmed Shafiq is one example of coming, bringing back the old regime in different names, under different names. But we have, on the other hand, the awareness of the young people of Egypt and the blood that they lost in their revolution. This is a guarantee that whatever attempts they do to hijack this revolution, I think this revolution will last and will succeed to bring the freedom and the hopes of the Egyptian people to build up their country independent, free, democratic, not under the will of any superpower.
Adnan, which, if any, if either, of the two scenarios I projected, do you think we're facing now? Either Shafiq is placed in as president by those who count the votes. And with the parliament dissolved, we effectively have a return to the status quo ante prior to the overthrow of Mubarak. Or Dr. Morsi wins the election but has no parliament, has no constitutional powers, and thus becomes merely a decoration for the continuation of military rule. Do you buy either of those two scenarios, or are there others?
Yeah, I think they are not stupid enough to put Ahmed Shafiq back into power, because this will bring the people back to the streets. So I think there's a second scenario. Mohamed Morsi, weak Mohamed Morsi, and weak Egypt, that's what they may be planning to.
Adnan, I'm very grateful for your obviously well-informed point of view. I appreciate it very much. Kamal is in Germany. He's always worth listening to. He wants to talk about Egypt and what they call Saudi Arabia. Kamal, welcome to the show.
Wahhabi system. Thank you very much, George. About this Wahhabi system who attack all the revolution's point in the Arab world. They don't talk about the Arab world. They talk about sometime about North African, about the Middle East, and the Arab world for the European not existence. But let's go to Egypt now. What already done in Egypt with this catastrophe from the military committee, we have to know exactly it is a plan from the ambassadors from the United States and from the Zionists. Not now, but more than half years ago, they planned this system to get something to take it wrong. We have to change it. So the other side, it's wrong. We have to get it again. So what happened in Egypt? It's a big catastrophe. The only solution, the people, this people in Tahrir and all the places in Egypt, it's a support for the revolution and nothing else. George, my dear, that why what I want to talk to you, when I want to speak now to you, and we talked together before, that the revolution, then only in Tahrir and only in the places and nothing else. Shafiq is just only what the West countries and the United States and the conference in the Congress in the United States want to support him. George, my dear, they told them we want that in Egypt, the same system. Mubarak done, it's already okay, but the system must be stay. And the Egypt, in the people in Egypt, they don't like this. It the destruction of the revolution and the people in Egypt. Only when they are, excuse me for my English language, but when they are not educated enough, but they know exactly the same point is, and it will be stay, that the people want freedom in Egypt.
Indeed, it's beginning to look like they may have to fight for it all over again. Kamal in Germany thinks only one solution, revolution. Let's hear from Zach in London about Arabia. Zach, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi there, George. How are you doing? You all right?
Very well, by the grace of God. Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about Saudi Arabia. I mean, how long are the Saudi people are going to be oppressed? I mean, how can the Saudi people overcome the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia? I mean, is there a way that they can fight?
Because they'll have to overthrow them. I've said from the beginning, Zach, about all these dictatorships. Either the dictators will have to change or the people will have to change the dictators. And I certainly don't see any sign, looking at the House of Saud, of any voluntary change on their part. As President Kennedy once said, those who make peaceful change impossible make violent change inevitable. It's not rocket science, it's obvious, Zach.
Yeah.
Well, look, thanks for your call. I appreciate it very much indeed. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, David Cameron, Leveson, all of it's up for discussion and debate this evening. But here on the comment wall, we take your SMS and your emails, and we want every point of view, especially if it's different to mine. So let's see on the comment wall the first email of the evening. And this one is from London. Trish, why does the UK support Saudi Arabia if what you say is true? Are they really that murderous? What's your evidence? Whew. Well, there are many, many pieces of evidence, Marcia. Just Google it. Just watch the videos on YouTube about them. Or there's many very good books about the House of Saud, the best of which was written by Saeed Abu Rish, a Palestinian writer based in France. And there are many, many others where that came from. I'm surprised there's anybody watching this station doesn't know about the venality of the House of Saud. Keep listening to me and you'll know all about it. Marcia is in Italy and she wants to speak about Egypt. Marcia, welcome very much.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Lovely to hear your voice. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, I think the scenario that you have spoken about, the second one, I go for that.
Yes.
Because I already feel that they have sold themselves, the scarf, I mean.
Yes.
To well, the Saudi money.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they needed to sell themselves again, Marcia. I think they were bought and paid for a long time ago.
Absolutely.
But the real question
is again, after the Egyptians have paid in blood, and I think they are playing with fire. If they think Egyptians will just give up and say, okay, I don't think they will agree to, as you have put it, Mr. Mursi as a showcase.
As a decoration. I suppose
Absolutely.
The real question, Marcia, is...
See?
I suppose the real question is, have the Muslim Brotherhood sold themselves? Are they content to be a mere decoration for a military junta with the parliament dissolved and no powers yet ascribed to the presidency? What do you think about that?
The fact is, I think... unfortunately, I have to say yes, because I do not support the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, me neither, but there's only one choice in the election in the next day or two, yeah?
You mean like in Yemen? You mean like in Yemen?
No, what I'm saying is there's an election the day after tomorrow, yeah? And people have to vote, and there's only two candidates. One of them is openly... the stooge of the old regime. The other may or may not be a new stooge of the old regime. But in such an election, we have to vote surely for Dr. Morsi.
Yes, of course, yes. But I am as shocked as you, everybody else, that Shafiq has got words. I mean, honestly, I've never known a thug to get a word for a parliament.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marcia, as Stalin once said, who votes is not the important question, but who counts the votes is the important question. So let's keep a close eye on the election and its aftermath. Marcia, thanks a lot in Italy. Let's go all the way to Algeria. Talk to Hamdan about this sectarianism question. Hamdan, welcome to the show.
Sorry?
Yes, welcome to the show, but your television must be down at zero, please.
Ah, thank you. Hello, George.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hello, George. How are you? Greetings from Algeria.
Thank you. Very happy to hear from you there. Go on.
Okay. I would like to intervene the problem in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
What's happening really is that they are not doing the best things for all the Arabs and all the Muslims in the world. They are acting very, very, very short-sighted intervention in all over. Look what happened in Libya and what's going on in Libya now. Look what's happening in Syria. and what was going to be. They are dividing, and I agree with you when you said they are dividing the Muslim world and the Arab world, so that they are pressuring their own people in Saudi Arabia, and everybody knows that.
Is it working, Hamdan, in your experience in the Arab Maghreb and in Algeria, the great revolutionary castle, a country that had to give 1.5 million martyrs to get its freedom?
That's right.
Is it working? Is the sectarian card working?
I didn't get you very well.
What I mean is they're playing this card of sectarianism to divide the Muslims, to divide the Arabs. Are they succeeding in this?
Not yet, but they tried that very long time ago, in the beginning of the 19th. They tried to divide us, but they didn't succeed anyway. Not very much. We had a lot of problems, as you say, but they didn't succeed to divide the Algerian people. In the Maghreb, there is some... what I can tell you is that a lot of Algerian people, Tunisian and Moroccans, don't agree with what's happening, what the deeds of Qatar, Emirati and Saudi Arabia.
Hamdan, I salute you. I salute Algeria. I salute the memory of the late Ben Bella, Ahmed Ben Bella, my dear departed friend. I salute the strugglers of Algeria who fought colonialism and who will never support the return of the Crusaders to their lands by the grace of God. Let's go to Denmark. We're getting around the world this evening. Al-Fatima is on the line. Fatima, go ahead, please.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. You are doing a great
go
job.
Ahead.
Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you.
George, I wonder why Saudi Arabia is so interested to crack down Bahraini uprising and why it's supporting Syria on so high military levels. Why do they support oppositions in Syria?
Because they are slaves. They are slaves. They call themselves kings and princes. 30,000 princes, but in fact they're not kings or princes, they are slaves. They are slaves of the imperial system, of the Western empires, who keep them in power in return for the recycling of the petrol dollars into the banks, the bordellos, the arms bazaars, the property markets of the Western countries of whom they are slaves. That's the truth of it. Fatima?
Yeah. Do you think Saudi government is alone to make such high profile level and programs, plans and programs?
To coin a phrase that the kings of Arabia will recognize, so-called Saudi Arabia is definitely the head of the snake. We're talking about Saudi Arabia. We're talking about Egypt, where a military coup may be unfolding in front of our eyes. We're talking about David Cameron's humiliating appearance in front of the Leveson inquiry today for an entire day, answering questions about his corrupted relationship with the Murdoch newspaper empire. Let's squeeze in Jafar in London on Saudi Arabia. Jafar, quickly, please.
Hello, Mr. George. How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, very good. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the reason for calling, I think now we are facing a different kind of war, because it's about Sunni and Shia type of war. They don't want the Western people to get involved in this war, so now they've divided.
Yes, and is it working?
Yeah, I don't think so it will work. I hope these Arabs, they open their brain. Yeah, get together with Iran, cooperate with Iran, stay together and you will rule the world. At the moment, they are just, as you said, they are slaves of the Western people.
Hallelujah. That was Jafar in London with a clarion call. And we'll continue to debate that and the other questions after the break, which is coming up for the news. And so in just 3 minutes or so, God willing, I'll be back with you with the second half of Comment. talking about what's happening in Egypt, talking about Saudi Arabia sowing the dragon's teeth of sectarianism. Will they reap the whirlwind? Talking about David Cameron, humiliated today in a British courtroom. God willing, I'll be right back after this.